Everybody says, come on, come on. Oh, they're encouraging me. That's what it is. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Boy, it's been crazy, huh? Like, if you're not a Wichita native, I can imagine you're thinking, what in the world's going on with all this snow? You know, we typically don't have this much, but I don't know what's going on. But here in a few minutes, we're going to take communion together, and I'm going to share a short lesson, then we'll take communion together, a little different than normal, but we're going to have a good time today. Before I pray here, I wanted to just highlight, just so many of you yesterday came together for the celebration of life for Patty Keplinger, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for how so many of you came together, did things behind the scenes. I especially wanted to highlight Mary O. What a great job she did yesterday. You know, I know Melinda was like her right hand yesterday. She did a great job. They were just, what a great heart. I wanted to highlight Mary because, you know, her friend Patty, she's had these health issues. She's been visiting. And Mary's heart was, man, I want to pull our family together to encourage hers. And what a great job she did. She organized it. She was go-to. She was steady under pressure. Man, what an awesome job, sister. I appreciate you a lot. And thank you to all of you that brought food, that did different things. Thank you to everybody who worked behind the scenes this morning. We had a little bit of an ice issue today, but people like Gita and Tim got out there and did some great work. So we appreciate you guys. But let's pray, and then we're going to jump into the Bible together. Amen. God, thank you so much for who you are and just the love that you show us, Father. It's so encouraging, God, even sometimes under, you know, not the greatest circumstances, it's encouraging, though, when we can come together as a family and display your love and comfort for others. And, God, I pray that that's our heart always, God, that when we're out and about, whether we're by ourselves or when we're together, that, God, our hearts are just focused on things above, and we're focused on sharing the love and comfort that you've given us through so many different circumstances with those around us. God, we love you. We thank you for helping us all get in here today without, you know, I imagine there's been a few slips, but hopefully no real bad falls. And pray that you'll just, you know, continue to help us, God, to pull together and love one another. And as we're kind of starting this new year, we are having a little bit of trouble getting out of the blocks, but God, as long as we get started and we finish strong, God, I know you're going to do great things. And we love you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to talk a little bit about today about having a new perspective for a new year. And you know, although it's a new year, we are facing many of the same battles we did last year, right? Satan and his minions, they don't stop because the calendar turns to January. They don't go, oh, wait, it's a new opportunity for people. Let's just back off for a while. Right. He doesn't care what the calendar is. He just keeps working with his minions to try and discourage us. And although many of us have hopes for a new year, we have to realize that that spiritual battle is still being waged. And we have to steel ourselves and prepare ourselves by really tweaking and turning our perspective to get it more focused as we go into this year, understanding that, man, some of those, I know for me, I've set some of the goals I'm setting for this year, honestly, were goals I had last year. And they didn't quite go so well. And so I'm going to have to restart again. And the devil doesn't go, well, he's restarted three times, so I'm going to back off. No, he says, I'm going to go harder because I want to discourage him. And so I know many of us are setting some of these New Year's resolutions or goals, or maybe we're just saying, you know, this year I'm going to make it simple. I'm going to try to just be closer to God or whatever it is. But we have to understand there's an enemy, and he's working hard to stop us. And even if you've started some new things and already fallen out, I think, what do they call it? Quitter's Friday is already past. You know, there's a certain day every year. I think it was like January 11th this year or whatever it was, where they're like, this is the day everybody stops, you know. Even if that's happened to you, guess what? God is a God of new beginnings. And you get a new minute, a new second, you get new hours, you get new days, and God is so open to that. And I want to encourage you today that even if you've come out of those starting blocks, you've been sick, you've been discouraged, or if you're just on fire, man. I talked to a brother this morning that, man, he's been reading the Bible like crazy to start the year, and he's had some great victories already. Amen. No matter where you're at, I think the three things I'm going to talk about here quickly this morning are going to encourage us in tweaking our mindset and getting ourselves ready for a new year. Amen? Amen. You ready to get in the Bible a little bit? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The first weapon, if you will, that I wanted to talk about this morning, I've got three kind of weapons or tools for our toolbox today. The first one I want to talk about is why. It's starting with our why. Why do we do what we do? Why do we come to church every Sunday? Why do we read our Bibles? Why do we pray? Why do we share our faith? Why do we engage in discipleship? Why do we sacrifice our finances for the help of the church in its growth? Why do we help out Hope Worldwide? Why do we reach out to our neighbors? Why do we serve the poor? Why do we do what we do? I think we have a lot of head answers, but how does your heart answer? We have to start with why. If we don't start with the right why, we're going to burn out really fast. It's not going to take too long. You know, if you're like me, you have a strong sense of duty. That's one of the things that gets me going. I'm like, it's the right thing to do. But that only can last so long. Or maybe it's just been a habit for you. Man, I've had quiet times and shared my faith for years, and it's just, that's just what I do. Well, that's good. Don't stop the habit, but if we don't have the right why behind what we're doing, the right motivation, we can fall off fast and fall off hard. What is your cause? What is the thing that gets you moving? Sometimes it can be negative. Sometimes we can go to church because we feel guilt. Sometimes we can engage in even discipleship because we feel guilty. We go, well, I've sinned and I've got to get this off my heart because I feel guilty about it. And that's what causes us to get help from people. Now, that's okay again, but what's the real driving root force? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14 says, "For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." It says Christ's love compels us. There's different things that Paul even talks about, or Jesus talks about his motivations. At one point, Paul talks about the grace of God, how it makes him work harder than them all. But at the root of all of it, is love. That's got to be what compels us. It's got to move us forward. If it's not coming from the love of Christ and our love for Him and what's been done for us, we're going to fizzle out. We can become easily those who just fill pews. We can become easily those who just show up. And sometimes maybe that's all the faith you have, but do you want it to be that way full time for the rest of your days? No. If we want it to be a vibrant relationship with God, one that's impactful, it's got to be driven by our love for Christ and His love for us. It's Christ's love that compels us. It's having the right motivation. There's an old story, I don't know if you're familiar with the, you know, most of us are familiar with the Wright brothers, right? Their whole, you know, let's take flight sort of attitude, and they're like, we want to figure this out. And, you know, they weren't necessarily the ones that came up with flight itself, but it was more the extended flight. And there was a guy named Samuel Pierpont Langley, and he was this guy who, his attitude was, I want to do this because I want the fame. And you've probably heard that name Langley before. It's on some of our federal buildings, and it's a pretty famous name. This guy was actually given thousands, that would be like millions today, thousands of dollars by the government, to go in and make this extended flight possible. But the Wright brothers, they had a different attitude. They didn't want fame. They wanted to do it for their fellow man. And I think about that story because I'm like, look who became the ones that really made it happen, who really found the solution. It was the guys who had the purest motivation. And I think about that as us for Christians, right? Are we in it just for, you know, some kind of accolade from God? Are we in it because it's the right thing to do? Or are we in it because we have that right, pure motivation that I want to impact the world for Christ just as Christ has impacted me? What's the attitude? I want to encourage us this morning to tweak that motivation, to turn it in and say, let's get it from Christ. Weapon number two, or tool number two, adopt an eternal focus. I've had this verse, so funny. You know how sometimes people will share verses with you to encourage you, and I love that. I love when somebody will text me something. But then when you see it from two different people, the same verse on two different days who you know didn't talk to each other, you go, okay, God. And this is one that was shared with me here recently. And I'm like, okay, I get you, God. 2 Corinthians 4, just a couple of pages back, verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Then skip down to verse 16. Therefore, probably one of my favorite little sections of the Bible, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We have to be more, way more focused on the long play than we are in the short term. I tell you what, going into 2025, I didn't think I'd be in this position in life. I haven't had a job for 5 months. And I tell you what, I appreciate all the prayers. There's been money that's come out of different places, just encouraging people, sharing their finances. I mean, it's been encouraging. But I tell you what, going into this, I didn't expect it. I expected that God was going to come through like that. I thought I'd be without a job for 2 months tops, and then boom, I'd have one. And boy, I've had to really check myself. When you get in these situations where you expected God to do something fast, and he says, whoa, where do we get? It's easy for us to drop our heads from there to here, right? To start worrying about everything in front of us. I tell you, every day, guys, is a battle. It's a battle to not, to go, okay, I need to pray and trust God in this, not myself. It's easy when things don't happen the way we want them to adopt an internal focus instead of an eternal focus. To get focused on ourselves and what we can do to fix it versus God and what the long play is. That's the challenge. What are we going to do? Are we going to turn our minds to fixing them on what is above? Colossians chapter 3 talks about that. It says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. What will you do this coming year? Will your attitude be more about the eternal or more about what's right in front of you? It's important to remember that life is not just, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. I think about the life of David, one of my favorite character studies. If you want to have a character study outside of our, you know, group Bible reading this year, David's a great one. Because his story is so fraught with stuff. I mean, more is written about him than just about any other character outside of Jesus, right? There's this long story of David, and there's so many ups and downs. David makes some catastrophic errors in judgment and in action in so many things. But yet, when we look at David, we go, that's an awesome man of God. But some of the stuff he did, if you saw one of your friends do it, you'd be horrified. But you know what God does? God doesn't look at David's story as all these individual failures. He looks at it as this rolling, epic motion picture of how David made mistakes but overcame. Made catastrophic errors but overcame. And that's how he looks at our lives. It's not the mistakes that we make all the time that he looks at. It's that rolling motion picture. How faithful have you been? Even when there's been struggles, man, I get back up. Even when I get knocked down, man, I've had some times where it's just like, hey, man, getting to church is all I can do. But God says, that's good. Keep going. That's what I'm looking for. It's not the failures, but it's how we respond to them that God looks at. The third and final weapon or tool is remembering who you are and who He is. Remembering who you are and who He is. Our identity in Christ is always under attack. The devil wants to make you think you are worthless, you're nothing, you're sinful, you're garbage, you're not special, you're nobody. That's what he wants to make you think. He wants to make you think all the issues in your life are your fault. He wants to make you think that everything that's happening to you that's negative is all your fault and because you're terrible. That's what the devil wants to make you think. I mean, think about how many times this year you just felt bad about yourself. How many times did you feel good about yourself? It's because we lose the identity of Christ. We lose sight of it. How does God see us today? Nathan just got baptized the other day. If he came up to you today and said, I'm just a sinful, wretched person, what would you say to him? Come on, man, you just got baptized. Why is that any different than who you are today, 30 years later? It's not. It's the same. God looks at you as pure and blameless. You may look at yourself different, but whose view is right? You've heard me say this before. We think that God is looking at things through rose-colored glasses. Oh, God, the way you see things, oh, it's just so great, but it's not reality, God. Reality is I'm a wretch. Well, outside of God you are, but in God you're something way different. You're something amazing. I'm going to bang this drum until I die. Some of you have heard me say this so many times, you're like, but we just don't want to buy it. For whatever reason, we just go, whatever. We don't want to wrap our arms around who we are and who God is. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 2. I love this so much. This is one of those ones you got to drill it into your soul. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Once you were this, now you are greater. Don't be afraid to see yourself as God sees you. We don't have to have this false humility sometimes of, oh, I'm meek and lowly. I tell you what, if I'm reaching out to my friends and I'm like, come visit my church. Come find Jesus with me. They're going to be like, why would I? You're lame. But if I walk in confident and not proud, but confident and like, man, God has done so much in my life. He has changed me. I was once this, now I'm this. I was once that way, now I'm this way. That's what people want to see. They want to see that your story means something. Boy, they can argue. People can argue theology all day long. They cannot argue a changed life. They can't. They can't argue how different you are versus how you used to be. Sometimes we're afraid of that because we see the myopic part, right? Oh, the last few years, I haven't really changed that much. How different you are now, though, from when you first came out of the water. It's tremendous. It's amazing. We've got to remember that. We have to take that as a weapon and remember that it's not because of something special we did, but it's because of who God is. But just because it's not something we did doesn't mean we can't own it, because it's a gift. We don't like when people reject our gifts. Think about Christmas. There's been those times, right, when you got a gift and you thought, man, this is awesome. I can't wait to give it to them. And you give it to them, they're like, oh. You'll always remember, here's a tip. If someone goes, oh, it's a, that means they don't like it. Oh, it's a shirt. That means they probably don't like it. But have you ever had those times when you gave something to somebody and they didn't like it? It doesn't feel good, does it? But when they love it, how does it make you feel? God has given you the greatest gift He could possibly give in His Son, and that has changed our identity. How will you accept that gift? Will you go, oh, thanks. Oh, a new identity. Great. Or, man, look at what I have. Look at what I've been given. And this is what we get through Christ. We have to remember who He is. He is the creator of all things. God can do anything. Guys, what I've learned in this last 5 months of just like difficulty and challenges is that God can bring stuff out of nowhere. He can bring money out of a fish's mouth. He can change water to wine. He can do anything. And it's not just for everybody else, but it's for us. And sometimes He's got to say, wait a second. Because there's all kinds of stuff going on that we don't know, and it's hard, and you might have to wrestle a little bit. But who God is a giver. He's a provider. He loves us. And man, just like Jeff, I can't get this out of my head, what Jeff shared a few weeks ago. He talked about the love of Jesus and Jesus coming to the earth being like this giant billboard that says how much God loves us. We can't forget that. We can't forget it. That God loves us. And no matter how challenging your life has been, He loves you and He's using you to help others. And He's using your life, sometimes difficulties, to teach you things. And sometimes it's just about perseverance. It's not always, oh, you were such a bad. I've struggled with this. I've got such a rotten character that I got to wait months to get a job. Maybe. But some of it's probably just, you got to learn some perseverance. And some of it might just be, I'm working plans you have no idea about. I keep thinking, man, wherever job I end up landing, someone there is going to get the gospel. I'm like, man, you must have been the one that I'm, it's coming. I'm going to share Jesus with you, whoever it is. It must have been something like that. But we got to have that attitude, right? Guys, these tools, man, we've been given some great tools here. Why? Why do you do what you do? What focus are you going to adopt? Hopefully it's an eternal focus, right? And then this third part, remembering who you are and who God is. And when we take communion here in just a second, remember what Jesus has done, and that's what's brought all of this to us. It's what compels us. It's what allows us to focus on things above. And it shows us who God is. And it's transformed who we are. It's the cross. It's what Christ did for us. Guys, I want to encourage you with this today that, man, 2025, it could be an amazing year. If we can get our hearts and minds adjusted, come together, united, and we're going to see more and more people like Nathan get baptized. We're going to see things change in our life. And we're going to see God work powerfully. Amen.